I've often said that many times when we preach up here, we're preaching to ourselves. And that may be the case tonight. Our text this evening may or may not be. Our text this evening will be Ephesians chapter 4. So as you find that in your Bible or in your device, as you look that down, I'm going to get a short little story to get us started this evening. There was a preacher, a gospel preacher. He's holding a meeting in a small town, and he needed to mail a letter. So he ventures downtown on Main Street. It's a little town that has, you know, the square with a courthouse in the middle. So he was walking downtown and looking for the post office, and he came across this little boy. And he stopped the little boy and he asked him, he said, "Can you tell me how to get to the post office?" And the little boy, he gave him directions. And after he had gotten his directions, he said, "Hey, if you'll come to the church building tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." And the little boy, in his polite, authentic self, he thought for a minute and he says, "No thanks, mister. You can't even get to the post office." So do you consider yourself an authentic person? By authentic, I mean true to your own personality, your spirit, your character, sincere with no pretensions. Well, last Sunday and even this Sunday morning, we've been talking about bearing with one another, bearing one another's burdens, submitting to one another. But last week, this lesson came from last week's discussion. We were talking about bearing with one another. And as the discussion developed, we talked about all the different things that we should bear with one another. And we all have our idiosyncrasies that we tolerate. But one of the items that was mentioned last week was that of opinions. And that's going to be our focus for just a few minutes this evening. Many feel the need to let their opinion be known, even to the point that if they don't, they feel like maybe they're betraying themselves. They're not being honest with themselves. That need for self-gratification is basically what it is. It can lead to a lot of hurt feelings. And it's surprising how many times we hurt somebody's feelings or we tick somebody off with our desire to be honest with ourselves, to be authentic, and express our opinions about something. We have to realize that that's not necessarily how the Bible says that we should be. So I'm asking, does our opinion matter? An opinion, it's a belief or a judgment that rests on insufficient grounds to produce complete certainty. It's basically a personal appraisal, a personal view, a personal attitude, if you will. They're powerful. Opinions are very powerful. They can sometimes be very negative. And they can lead to dissension. They can lead to destruction. And they can lead to people destroying their lives, other lives, and their souls if we're not careful. We have an opinion about everything. Everybody does. What are we going to wear? Where are we going to go? What are we going to eat? What kind of car we're going to drive? The brand and style of clothing that we're going to wear. We even have opinion about other people and what kind of clothes they should wear. And opinions are okay. Everybody has opinions. But here's the rub. When we attempt to bind our opinion on someone, on others, as right or wrong, when there's no scriptural basis for doing so, therein lies the problem. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, we're told by Christ our Lord, the second greatest commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes that means that before we speak, we need to sit, we need to think about how would it make me feel if somebody said this to me If somebody expressed their opinion to me, how would it make me feel? I think if we can do that, we put ourselves in a much better position to be loving and to be pleasing to God. Scripture has a lot to say about how we're to treat one another. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is teaching on the unity of the Spirit. And let's read this first three verses of Ephesians chapter 4 together. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. We talked about this last Sunday morning. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And if you drop down to verse 29 of the same chapter, Paul expands on the thought a little bit. He says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now, some translations have, let no corrupt word proceed from your mouth. Have you ever had someone to say something to you that just melted you down, just tore you down, just beat you down? Well, let's look again at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. This time I want to look at what the New American Standard Bible says about it. It says in verse 29, Ephesians chapter 4, let no unwholesome, or it may be corrupt word in your translation, word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment. So you don't have to say anything if it's not needed at the moment. According to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And here God's laying out some standards on for us to communicate with one another and how to interact with one another. You know, we live in a world that promotes selfishness, self-centeredness, a false sense of self-gratification, if you will, and then all of a sudden it's important that you know how I feel. You know about what my opinion is on something. It's not necessarily how Scriptures tells us we should be. It doesn't say that it's important that you know how I feel, especially about matters of opinion. Ephesians 4 says that it's important that I administer grace to you by what comes out of my mouth. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. How we address one another should be with grace. We should build one another up. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. And our speech should reflect that. Some may think, well, I'm not being honest. I don't really agree with what they said, with what they do, with what they're wearing. And I'm not being honest if I just don't express my opinion. I'm not being honest with myself. I need to express my opinion. Well, no, you don't. What you need to do is obey God. That's what you need to do. So what do we do with this sentiment about, I'm just not being honest with myself if I don't let my opinion be known? Well, first of all, if you're admitting to yourself that you're not being honest, well, with yourself, then you are being honest with yourself, because it doesn't mean that you have to express your feeling with others, especially in matters of opinion. Let's keep that focus here. You don't necessarily need to do that. You can go into your prayer closet or in a private space. You can talk with God about it all you want, all you need. But when it comes to actually expressing your opinions, we're given standards with which to follow. It shouldn't be corrupting when we speak. It should be good for edification when we speak, and our words should administer grace to those that hear. If we follow those standards, we stand a much better chance of being loving, that we are loving others as ourselves. Sorry. This is especially true when somebody offends us. It's probably especially true when somebody offends us. They may offend us with what they say, with what they do, and something as meaningless as what they wear. But And we have this strong urge. We have this feel that we have to let our opinions be known. Think about it. When we're not upset with people, we don't go around feeling the need to express our opinion. For instance, we're walking downtown Mansfield. We don't feel the need to walk up and say, that tattoo is disgusting, or man, that is one ugly shirt. You don't need to be wearing that shirt. Or your hair is too long. We don't do that when we're not hacked off at somebody or when somebody doesn't offend us. Doing so, if we did, it might be authentic. And doing so may satisfy my need for self-gratification and self-worth, but it isn't loving and it isn't kind. I contend that when people say that they want to be honest, the real you, the Christian you, the Christ-like you, that we're honest when we're loving, when we are kind, when we take the time to think through our actions, to think through our words, we should ask ourselves, how is what I want to say going to affect that person? Are my objections, are my concerns, are they a matter of my own opinion, or are they a matter of doctrine? And if I say it, will it administer grace to those who hear it? If we take the time to make that evaluation, I contend that the real you, the Christ in you, that's the way you want to behave. Our sinful nature does things that we don't want to do. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, when he says, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." Doing what you hate to do can very likely make the other person feel bad, and it should make you feel bad as well. It should make me feel bad as well. Because the Christ in you, the Christ-like you, wants to be godly and wants to be Christ-like. You know, the world and our society, they get it all wrong. They've got it all backwards. Society tells us, show your feelings, express your opinions. You ever wonder why the Bible doesn't say, do that? Instead, we're told to put away anger. We're told to put away evil speaking. God knows that if we begin to do the right things, that our feelings will change. He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 45, where he talks about the good treasures of the heart. He says in chapter 6, verse 45 of Matthew, "The man out of good treasures of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of evil treasures bring forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." Who we are will begin to change as we obey God's word. Paul, in his defense before Felix in Acts chapter 24, verses 15 and 16, he says, "I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense towards God and men." The next... it came up. I just don't trust this thing anymore. We're given a measurable standard in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, where Christ taught, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." If we're expressing ourselves in a godly manner and in a godly fashion, people will see our good works and God will get the glory. We are to obey God as we speak to others according to their need, to administer grace, and to build them up. Now, I'm talking about matters of opinion here. I can't keep reinforcing that. In matters of doctrine, if a brother or a sister needs to be directed or reproved or admonished, if that is the need, we have to address that. And we have to address that in a way that doesn't tear them down, in a loving way. In a moment, we're going to read Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. But before we do, I want to look at Romans chapter 14, verse 1. And I want to look at it how four different translations render it. First of all, it's the New American Standard Bible. It says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." The English Standard Version says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions." The New King James Version says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." And then the New International Version says, "Accept the one whose faith is weak without quarreling over disputable matters." So what are disputable matters, doubtful things, opinions? Well, let's read verses 1 through 11 of Romans chapter 14. "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgments on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord. For he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." Romans 14, it's addressed to Gentiles who didn't understand the Jewish customs regarding food, drink, the Jewish feast days, etc. While these things were commanded in the old law, they were annulled in Christ and were not obligatory to the Gentiles. These Jewish customs became a problem with churches that had both Jews and Gentiles in them. Gentiles felt no guilt about not practicing Jewish customs, and thought the Christian Jews should feel the same way. And however, many Jews couldn't abandon the Jewish customs and their practices because that would offend their own conscience. So Paul gave instructions to the church at Rome. He says, "Do not divide over these matters." He wrote in verse 3, he says, "The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats." The Jew needed to respect the right of the Gentile not to observe these things by not binding the Jewish customs on them. And the Gentile also needed to respect the Jews' desire to practice those by not putting offensive things in front of them, certain kinds of foods and what have you. For them to do otherwise was to judge unrighteously. And that's what Paul wrote in verse 4. He says, "Who are you to judge the servant of another?" And then he says in verse 12 of that text, "It is the Lord who judges such matters, and it is to him that we will give an account." To sum it up, Paul's discussion in Romans 14 concerned the observance and the non-observance of Jewish customs. And under Christ, these were matters of personal observance, since the law had been nailed to the cross. And we can look in Colossians chapter 2. So disputable matters are not matters of obligation, are not matters of doctrine, but matters of personal opinion. Now, matters of right and wrong, matters of doctrine, they're a topic for another sermon. So I ask again, is being authentic a problem? Does my opinion matter? Of course, our opinions matter. They do. But Scripture teaches us, that there's room for disagreement regarding matters of opinion within the Lord's church. But we are not to divide or create dissension amongst ourselves over opinions. Scripture teaches us that we are not to bind matters of opinion on others. Scripture teaches us that our speech, how we address each other, must be good for edification, according to the need for the moment, Ephesians 4:29, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Today, there's some among us, all of us, we all have opinions, and we hold opinions about one thing or another, over many issues. But we need to respect and honor those opinions, and remember they are our brother and our sister in Christ, and we attempt to live out the second greatest commandment. That's our lesson for the evening. We can help you in your service to the Lord. We stand ready to help you. Just come forward as we stand and sing.